This is an ENN special report. Now reporting.
Peter, you have done a phenomenal job.
ENN's at 6.
When the clock struck 6, it meant one thing.
Now let me throw a couple at you, Art. What's your name?
Don.
Don.
Bang, bang!
Don, you understand what I'm saying?
No, I'm out.
Now, from the ESPN New York News Desk, here's
Rosenbaum or whatever that guy's name is.
Huh? Hello? Why?
What's up, homies?
Hi, guys.
ENN, which is sponsored by the All-American Ford Auto Group. Shop the largest and best Ford group in the Northeast at allamericanford.net. All-American Ford has the largest selection and best prices with locations in Paramus, Hackensack, Old Bridge, and Point Pleasant.
That's right.
We'll start off by saying good evening to Michael.
My head is not big. My face is long.
And then we will also say good evening to Don.
I love meatballs.
I see.
I'm a big meat guy.
Other things happened today.
Like, you're the best picker.
That's
here.
Right.
What, of a nose?
It's better the second time around. Listening is in like six figures, right?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Maybe four.
Four figures?
I mean, seven.
What?
That's almost...
Again, bad at math.
I'm hungry. I want a bite. I had no recollection.
You've got a Zoptic 5 hours to stuff your face.
I mean, there's so many moments I didn't know happened.
You're a little snitch, and I don't like you at all. I don't like people disagreeing with me.
I'm hungry. I want a bite. Well, guys, it's been a hell of a show if you've missed it. And if you don't know what we've been talking about, the Knicks have fired David Fizdale after a 4-18 start to the season. Of course, I don't know if you know this, last year, the worst league record as well. 21-83 in less than two seasons as head coach. He's owed the remainder of his four-year $22 million contract. His winning percentage, 202, fifth worst with a single team with a minimum of 100 games over the last 30 NBA seasons. Since James Dolan's first season as owner back in 99-2000, the team has had 12 head coaches, tied for the most in the NBA with the Grizzlies, Suns, and Pistons. Supposedly, the top candidates are the assistant coaches. We haven't heard. Mike Miller is one strong possibility.
From the G League.
He's from the G League. And then Pat Sullivan is well a contender. So here we are, guys. The first day of the rest of our lives. He ended up coaching practice, by the way, and then was let go after practice.
Well, to put in perspective, while James Dolan has been the owner, as you mentioned, 12 coaches. During that time, the Celtics have had two, Doc Rivers and Brad Stevens.
That's correct.
And the Spurs have had one.
We're talking about the two best franchises in basketball.
Well, I don't know if the Celtics fall
under
that heading.
Really? Most championships in history?
Okay, that's ancient history.
Ancient history?
Yeah, well, okay.
A decade ago. And I don't know if you know this, but Uncut Gems, Kevin Garnett's amazing as well. So
I'm sure the NBA's thrilled with him.
For doing the movie?
Yeah.
Why?
Because it's so blatantly putting gambling in the forefront. I understand Silver has embraced that. But
well, I will say
this. I read a story in the Times yesterday that they can't be thrilled with Kevin Garnett taking part.
Well, the movie, though, has nothing to do with him. He at no point throws anything or
right, but they
accepts.
Do talk openly about, you know, the refs are in the tank for this, blah, blah, blah.
Oh, yeah, there are some conversations like that. But really, essentially, the movie revolves around the fact that Kevin Garnett just wants this stone and feels that this rare stone that Adam Sandler has is his, like, good luck charm. He's not sitting there trying to throw games.
Right. No, I realize that.
Just like making sure you know. So, it's ugly, Michael. You said it. The Celtics and Spurs, 1-2 head coaches. Warriors obviously been sitting there with one head coach for a very long time. Miami. You know, teams that do well consistently keep coaches for a long time.
It's unbelievable. I've long had a credo or a motto.
A credo?
I never, ever call for somebody to be fired. I just feel awkward. It's somebody's family that's affected as well. But I don't know how Steve Mills and Scott Perry get off scot-free here. They chose David Fizdale over everybody else who wanted this job. No one else had a chance. So if David Fizdale's that bad of a coach, it's either one of two things. Either David Fizdale's a bad coach, or they put together a bad roster. Now, if it's two, it's on both of them. have to own both of that. They chose Fizdale over Budenholzer, who wanted the job, over Jackson, who wanted the job, over Jeff Van Gundy, who wanted the job. It was Fizdale, 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 and that's who they chose. So they didn't get him the superstars that they wanted and that they thought that he would entice, and they put together a dreadful roster. They can't shoot threes. They don't have a proficient point guard, and they can't defend the threes. This is in today's NBA. That's a recipe for 4-18.
Well, I want to know if it's not Jackson or Van Gundy, why? Like, eventually they're going to hire a coach. Hopefully we'll have either Jim Dolan or Mills and Perry together. I want to know why. Now, if you want to tell me that they're still upset about what happened when Van Gundy quit, okay, get over it, but I can understand. That's a reason. But what would be the reason for not hiring Mark Jackson? He wants the job. He's a New York guy. He's had success in the NBA. He will get the fan base energized. Because that's what you got to start thinking about now. I know the building is full every night, but we gave the ratings earlier. Now, I'm not necessarily a believer that people watch games because of who coaches and manages. But if you want to get the fans back on board and believe, bring in a popular guy that's had success before.
But teams win games because of who manages or coaches. And, you know, Stephen A. said they want somebody with equity, with blood in the ground. Mark Jackson's
from
here. He's
got blood in the ground.
Jeff Van Gundy, in his soul, is a Knick coach. He has blood in the ground. And you have to give the fans something to get excited about. They would get excited about Van Gundy. They would probably get excited about Mark Jackson. Thibodeau might be a great hire. I don't know if they'd get excited about
Thibodeau.
Not the
same way.
So, I mean, you have to serve the fans. The fans continue to support you, at least at the turnstiles. And this team is a joke.
Is that Tom Thibodeau or Thom?
It's Tom.
Got it.
What, is he one of those THOM
guys?
That's
what I'm asking, though.
He's a THOM.
He's not a Thom guy.
No.
Who's the Thom we were talking about a couple weeks ago? Thom Brenneman. Right.
And Tom McCann.
By the way, Jarv has sent out our picks.
I saw.
And he has now changed the head of Peter to the picture where he looks like Jim Dolan. And
really?
He looks even more Thank like you. Jim Dolan. Now he's got the respect my authority picture.
Do I get a photo credit? Because I took that picture.
It just says
follow.
Underneath.
By the way, follow at Jarv from Oz.
Yeah, it's tremendous.
J-A-R-V from O-Z if you want to see our picks over the weekend, because he has a list constantly going of our picks.
And it's also important because it's almost like a reader's guide to the show.
Yeah, he does a tremendous job. Love him. Even though he took that picture, which is just horrible. But it's a good job out of him. I can't complain.
It's there.
The Yankees are reportedly making the signing of Gerrit Cole their number one off-season priority.
Can you imagine we haven't even spoken about this yet?
The Yankees supposedly now have ownership-level approval to offer Cole a record-setting deal. So, Michael, essentially, the Yankees sound like they're willing to go old Yankees to get Gerrit Cole.
I think people are misunderstanding this.
What part, Don? Michael just looked at you with a look of disgust?
No.
Disrespect?
I still think,
bemusement.
I still confirmed. Think... They're going to at least try, Michael, to keep the years at a minimum and just give record money per year. I still think they would like to keep it at a five-year deal and just give an astronomical amount of money.
Then they have no chance.
Well, so I'm just saying.
From what I'm hearing, I'm not saying he has a blank check. He's got pretty close to a blank check.
But all that falls under, you know, blank
years
check.
Two. Years, too.
All right. Well, I'm just saying.
So what,
reading
what,
the story.
7 years?
He's probably going to get eight.
And what is he, 30?
He'll pitch this year at 29.
Reading the stories.
But he's got a lot of mileage on the last few years, right?
No, he doesn't have that much mileage. He's okay.
I think people, you might be right, and you're closer to the situation than I am, but a lot of stories that I was reading last night, record-breaking deal, break the bank, the Yankees all in, still could mean, yeah, they're all in, giving similar money that other teams may offer over a 7 or 8 year period, but trying to do it in a 5 year span.
See, but I'll tell you why I believe you're wrong.
Okay.
Because what you are on the threshold is important. So if you give him $45 million a year for 5 years, that's not good for the 5 years of managing those 5 years on the payroll. If you spread it out over 8 years, that's what the Philadelphia Phillies did with Harper. They spread it out over 13 years, so they're not hit as much with a cap hit. I believe that they will do – if they lose Gerrit Cole, it will simply be because he doesn't want to play here. because I don't think they're going to get outbid. That's just my feel. That's my feel. Okay. Maybe the Dodgers and the Angels are so desperate they do something silly. But I really believe that the last couple of years when they passed up on Corbin because they didn't want to give him that extra year, they didn't even entertain Machado, and they didn't entertain Harper, they knew Gerrit Cole was going to be a free agent. And they knew that the Astros okay. would not sign him.
Listen, I guess you're closer to it, but I just – I still would be very surprised, Michael, if it gets to like the 8-9 year territory. I think they'll dance with the money. And they'll break the bank with the money, but I think that the reason they get so crazy about the years is I think they're loath to pay big money to pitchers that are shot. And I think they might be afraid at 29 to give a guy 7-8 years that I'm going to have to pay a guy 36, 37 years old who's done whatever money it happens to be.
I would agree in the past, but now average annual value is an important part of any deal. So if they could sign him to a 15-year deal worth like $35 million, that would be $35 million a year for 7 years. And they signed, like what the Islanders did with Rick DiPietro. They signed him to a 15-year deal because they had to deal with a cap.
Right.
And the Yankees aren't dealing with a cap, they're dealing with a threshold. So the lower average annual value is better for them, and that would then increase the number of years that they'd be willing to give him.
I'll just tell you this, I need them to sign Gerrit Cole, because what I'm sensing from the Yankees fans that I'm talking to is that they will be absolutely insufferable if they don't sign Gerrit Cole. The fan base has their heart set on this.
Let me ask you a question.
Sure, go ahead.
Andrew asked me this question. Should the Yankees want Rendon or Cole?
I believe they're equally talented players. They're true difference makers on either team. I don't believe the Yankees at this point post Stanton would go for a big time offensive splash. I think that the fan base truly believes they're a pitcher away, but as you pointed out, when you watched the series against Houston, was it that they were a starting pitcher away?
No.
Or were they really hitting away?
Well, I think that they ultimately lost because they didn't get big hits. But I think that a team...
You know who gets big hits?
Who? Rendon. But a team can...
Tony Two Bags.
A team could actually benefit long-term by a guy that they know every single time out is going to be a seven-inning pitcher. It saves the bullpen, and maybe the bullpen's fresher in the
So maybe it changes everything.
It could change everything.
I'll tell you this. The fan base would be 10 times more excited for Cole than Rendon.
I agree.
And he's not 10 times the player. They're neck and neck as players.
And I believe that Cole and Strasburg are neck and neck for the Yankees wanting them, but I think the Yankees also realize that Strasburg's probably going to go back to the Nationals. And then the Nationals owner kind of angered his fan base, and he said, we can't afford them both.
Really? Strasburg and Rendon?
Yeah. He said we can only afford one. First of all, their payroll, their world champions, is about $130 million. They can afford them both.
How do you do that?
I don't know.
And who do you pick if you're them?
Well, I would pick the everyday player if I
Me
was
too.
Them.
Especially because, what happened with Corbin?
He's fine.
He's fine. They have
yeah.
Corbin.
Oh, yeah.
Especially because.
You have Scherzer and Corbin.
You have. Scherzer and Corbin. I mean, just remember, pre this year, no one was even talking about Strasburg the way they're talking about at this moment. He was a different version of him that people loved, and in D.C. was super highly regarded, but he wasn't Scherzer.
Right.
So you still would have Scherzer, you'd have Corbin, and then you keep Rendon, your best everyday player. That's what I would
yeah,
do.
Yeah, and Lerner came out and said we can't afford them both. So, and then there's a lot of people in the business who cover baseball on Twitter going, fans really have a hard time stomaching when a billionaire said we can't afford them both.
I don't know if you know the Cowboys lost last night.
Yeah, I'm familiar.
Third straight game. The pressure on Jason Garrett is getting worse and worse. 31-24, the game wasn't that close. They went up 7-0. When you think about it, from the time they went up 7-0, they were absolutely destroyed. 24 unanswered. Then the second they cut it to 24-14, the Bears put another 7 on the board. Cowboys scored 10 late. But they really got worked. And I'll tell you what, Mitch Trubisky wasn't bad yesterday. And I was just talking before he came to ENN about our teams are different. Should have included them in that conversation. The Bears are not the Bears of 5 weeks ago.
Sure.
They've now had three different iterations. The first version of the Bears this season seemed to be this defensive powerhouse that was getting the job done. Then they really fell apart. And now this is a competitive team again.
It might be saving Nagy's job and might be saving Trubisky's
yeah,
job.
Yeah, well, Trubisky certainly did a – and I got to tell you, I love the support Trubisky got from his teammates yesterday.
You ever notice he doesn't have eyelashes?
Mitch?
Yeah.
No, I don't look at him that closely.
Yeah, he doesn't seem like he has eyelashes. Now, I didn't see a lot of the game. I was in and out. I heard that Aikman just destroyed the Cowboys.
Oh, during the game?
Yeah. I mean, destroyed them.
Well, I'll tell you who a lot of people are not happy. Let's first hear from Damian Woody on the Dallas locker room and players.
Jason Garrett's going to be held accountable. He's not going to be the Cowboys head coach in 2020. But let's not absolve the players in this whole fiasco with the Dallas Cowboys. Because what's amazing here, they still have everything in front of them. The division is right there in front of them. And it seemed like week after week after week, we're seeing the same thing from the Dallas Cowboys.
Now let's go to KC and the Masterpiece, 105.3 The Fan, one of your favorite groups, I know. Jerry Jones, not a happy camper today.
Hey, guys. Morning.
Morning to you. All right, Jerry, you come on every week, win or lose. You answer questions. You know the Tolos and the Cowboys fans want answers today. What answer do you have for how this team is playing right now?
We're not playing very well.
Are you embarrassed? Are you embarrassed as an organization about how the team is playing?
Get your damn act together yourself. Okay? Now, we're going to have a good visit this morning, but settle down just a little bit.
I mean, as a Cowboys fan, Jerry.
A lot to go over. Now, go on with your question, but I'm going to give you the answers I want to give you this morning, and I don't like your attitude. Come in. I've been traveling all night, and I don't have the patience to jack with you today.
I understand that, Jerry. I'm just saying, like, emotionally.
Let's get with it and let's ask some questions.
All right.
What kind of questions?
We need a guest like that.
That's the best phoner you could ever get. How do you get that? How do you have Jerry Jones every week? I mean, Andrew, that's before he starts dropping bombs, right?
Yeah, they let him go early in that interview because he started cursing.
Andrew, we only have 4 minutes left. Can we make the rest of the show just playing the interview from 105.3?
Yeah, he cursed twice. And for those that aren't familiar with radio, so the show is on a 7-second delay, most radio shows. And if somebody curses, you hit a dump button.
Boom.
And so it never comes out over the air. Although with us, it does.
On Yes.
Because Yes is live. But every time you hit a dump button, it has to regenerate the delay. And the most you could do is have two, and then all of a sudden you're dead live. So after they dumped him for the second time, they hung up on the owner of the Cowboys.
They had to
hang up on him because they didn't know. Because, you know, let's say he curses, they get fined a lot of money from the FCC.
I love how mad he is in that. I'm not happy, and I don't got no time to jack around with you guys today.
We've never had a guest jack with us.
It's not happened one time. You know, I'm willing to jack with everyone. Next Saturday, a week from tomorrow, December 14th, 7 to 9 p.m., right before the big top-ranked boxing Terrence Crawford fight at MSG, I will be at Versa, 218 West 35th Street. It's right down the street from the Garden. When you're there, you can enter to win a pair of tickets to see the fight, but more importantly, you can hang out with me for a couple hours before the big fight. It's Fight Night with Peter Rosenberg, brought to you by Versa, a rooftop and restaurant experience like no other. And matter of fact, since we're at it right now, how about caller number 9 to 888-987-ESPN? You win a pair of tickets to top-ranked boxing at MSG. That's right. You'll see greats like Terrence Crawford. You'll see Teofimo Lopez. A great, great night of boxing at MSG. Toprank.com/events or Ticketmaster.com for tickets. But caller 9, you are in the building. Hey, we mentioned boxing, Michael. So we should talk about the fact that the heavyweight championship is on the line tomorrow in Saudi Arabia, right around 3:30 Eastern time. Andy Ruiz will be defending the world heavyweight championship against Anthony Joshua in a fight that if Anthony Joshua loses, the really compelling piece here, this is a guy, we had him on the show and he was tremendous.
Mm-hmm.
I think we all felt after we talked to him, this guy's a superstar. This is what heavyweight boxing needs. This sort of handsome, interesting, a guy who loves to talk and entertain in Anthony Joshua. And we kind of joked about this guy, Andy Ruiz, who was fighting at the Garden. Ruiz, of course, beats him. And now Ruiz at the weigh-in earlier comes in at 15 pounds above the weight for their last fight. 283 pounds for Andy Ruiz. He reportedly has like bought a mansion, multiple cars. He's been in Mexico hanging out with dignitaries. He's been living the life that a heavyweight champion lives. And it is a very, very interesting circumstance because then he gets on the scale and he's 283 pounds.
He's like a plus 200 underdog against Anthony Joshua tomorrow. But if Joshua loses, the intrigue in Joshua is gone. There's no play on a Wilder Joshua fight, a Tyson Fury Joshua fight. He loses to this guy twice in a row. The Anthony Joshua story, for all intents and purposes, is over.
You hear what Ruiz said, though? He said they made me wait till 4:30, almost 5 p.m. before the weigh-in. I already had eaten breakfast, lunch, and dinner. I had on a sombrero and all my clothes. That put on at least 10 pounds. We are lighter during camp than I thought, being the same weight. But, I mean, to me, that's slovenly. I've never understood one thing. When you're a professional athlete, your body is your product. To let yourself get like that is disgraceful.
But I will say it is interesting. If he did have breakfast, lunch, and dinner and kept his clothes on completely with a huge sombrero on his head, mm-hmm. that could legit be the difference between 283 and 275. So we'll see. That'll be tomorrow. We'll tell you about it on Monday. That'll do it for ENN.
In the words of Billy Joel, life is a series of hellos and goodbyes. I'm afraid it's time for goodbye again. See everybody coming up. Rangers hockey with Don LaGreca doing the play-by-play. So long.